Taylor Lee Belt will lead things off for the Warriors in the top of the seventh inning. First pitch from Addison Kluck is in at the knees for strike one called. Taylor Lee Belt, Jaden Kalmus, and Molly Mushinsky due up here for Wausau West. Big cut by Lee Belt, but falls it straight back to the screen. Strike two. So nothing and two on Lee Belt. She is 0 for 2. Eleven strikeouts in the game for Addison Kluck. And there's a pop-up. Third base side out of play. And we'll do it again at nothing and two. Everest, who has already clinched the Wisconsin Valley Conference Championship, looking to finish up the league season with an 11th win against just one loss. The Warriors came in trying to get to 500. They're 5-6 coming in. Line drive! Pulled foul down the third base side. So we'll do it again at nothing and two. West had a chance to move into a tie with Marshfield with a win today. Marshfield finished up their conference campaign at 6-6, but in a tie for fourth in the conference. Another good cut by Lee Belt, but follows it back over the screen, out of play. And we'll do it again at nothing and two. No balls and two strikes on the right-handed hitting Wausau West center fielder Taylor Lee Belt. Addison Kluck deals. There's a high pop-up. Third base side, Mara Meverden will make the call, make the grab for out number one. Up next will be Jaden Kalmus, cleanup hitter today for the Warriors. Jaden is 0 for 2. Swing and a miss on a rising fastball for strike one. Everest will be off until next Thursday. They'll wait for the winner of the game on Tuesday between Hudson and Marshfield. Swing and a miss, strike two. Warriors will open up the playoffs on Tuesday in Superior. 5 o'clock, 4:50 airtime right here on 98.9 WXCO. 0-2. Fastball just off the outside corner. That's ball one. One ball and two strikes on Jaden Kalmus. Addison Kluck has gone the distance. The right-hander deals. Hew! It ran inside and it hit her. Well, that's the first free pass. There have been no walks, but a hit batsman puts a runner on base. Up next for the Warriors will be the designated player, Molly Mushinsky. She had started in left with Baylen Holstrom, the designated player, but then Baylen took over midway through the game. There's a swing and a miss for strike one. No balls and one strike. Here's the pitch. Fastball in for a strike. Pickoff back to first, but back in standing up is Jaden Kalmus. And the pitch. Swing and a miss. And that's strike three. Strikeout number 12 for Addison Kluck. So that will leave it up to Peyton Kalmus, the Wausau West second baseman. Rising fastball up and out of the zone for ball one. Peyton today has popped up and struck out. She is 0 for 2. And the pitch. There's a good cut, but follows it back out of play. Right-handed batter for Wausau West. Senior for the Warriors. Kluck's pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike two. Warriors down to their final strike. And another stellar performance in the circle for Addison Kluck. And the pitch. There's a line drive down the left field line. Pulled foul. Hitting that ball well was Peyton Kalmus, but just a little bit in front of it. And we'll do it again at a ball and two strikes. Peyton steps back in. Here's the rock and the pitch. And just misses off the corner, outside corner, taken for a ball, 2-2. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Kluck rocks, deals. Another good cut by Peyton Kalmus, follows it straight back. He will do it again at 2-2. Runner on first for the Warriors, top of the seventh. Evergreens lead 8-0. Kluck is ready. Here's the pitch. Another good cut. Good battle here. Peyton Kalmus not getting fooled right now. She is getting her money's worth on these cuts. But still 2-2. Should Peyton reach base, Taylor Defner would hit next for Wausau West. Kluck is again ready. Here's the pitch. Another pop-up out of play. Running right through the bag down the first base side is Peyton Kalmus, but she'll have to head back and get back into the right-handed box. But boy, this is a terrific at-bat here for Peyton Kalmus. Be great to see her get rewarded for it. Seeing a lot of pitches from Addison Kluck. Here's the pitch. That time a change of pace. Out front, but able to hold back enough to get the head of the bat on it and pull it foul was Kalmus. Long at bat. Again, Kluck, 2-2. Another foul back. Well, we've had a very quick game most of the way. And now Peyton Kalmus is going to stretch it out with a terrific at-bat against Addison Kluck. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Again, Kluck. Rocks, deals. Swing and a miss, strike three. And finishing it off with her 13th strikeout of the game is Kluck. Still a great at-bat for Peyton Kalmus. No runs in the inning on one, no base hits, no errors, and one runner left on base. Final score, D.C. Everest 8, Wausau West nothing. We will come back and wrap it up. This is Warrior Softball on 98.9 WXCO.
Looking for the best in website design and digital marketing? Look no further than Coast to Coast Marketing, Central Wisconsin's number one choice. We're not just about building great websites. We're about building our community, too. That's why, for every website you purchase, we'll donate 10% of the sale to the school of your choice. Imagine growing your business while giving back to local schools. It's a win-win. Visit c2cmarketing.com or call 715-379-7460 today and make a difference with your business and your community.
So, what's your boat? A boat for fishing, a boat for skiing, a pontoon boat for partying? Or are you thinking personal watercraft? Whatever floats fun for you, remember CCU. That's Clover Belt Credit Union, the leader in financing summer fun. Motorcycles, ATVs, campers, motorhomes, and convertibles too. Great rates, great service, great fun. Local lenders lending local money. Quick and easy loan approval. It's the way financing should be. Stop in and visit with a CCU lender today. CCU can set you up with great rate financing approval, so when you find your boat, you're ready to float. Summer's just too short not to enjoy every moment you can on the water, on the road, or off the road camping or ATVing. Stop in, call, or apply online at ccuwausau.com for your great rate. Whatever floats summer fun for you, remember CCU. That's Clover Belt Credit Union. We finance fun.
Thanks to the Wausau West Athletic Department for their continued support of our broadcast of Wausau West Warrior Athletics on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Thanks for listening to our broadcast on the radio, but we want to see you out and about cheering on Wausau West student athletes in action. To find out your next opportunity to see the Warriors, go to WisconsinValleyConference.org and click on Wausau West. Chad Holmes again from DC Everest, where today's more than a ball game. Everybody out there for some of the drawings because Community Service Night, again, a benefit in honor of Braden Bone, the DC Everest student who took his life just a couple of months ago after being a case of sextortation, but the family here letting their voice be heard and everybody coming together in a wonderful way. Really heartwarming to see right now on the field. Both teams out there and everybody enjoying each other's company and enjoying the entirety of this event. So, but in the game itself, it was the Evergreens winning again. Boy, quite a year for DCE. They finished their regular season off very impressively. They have a record of 22 wins and 2 losses, 11-1 in the Valley, knocking off the Warriors by a score of 8-0. Everest got on the board in the first inning, a double by Aubrey Klatt, and then an RBI double by Mara Meverden, and that made it 1-0 Evergreens. It would stay that way because both pitchers were doing outstanding work. The Evergreens, Addison Kluck, and the Warriors, Caitlin Butler. It would stay 1-0 until the bottom of the fifth inning. And then Everest would send 10 batters to the plate, score 5 runs on 5 hits. Bases loaded, walk to Piper Schultz, made it 2-0. An RBI single by Addison Kluck made it 3-0. A 2 RBI single by Taylor Friedel made it 5-0. An RBI hit by Brooke Brown would make it 6-0. 5-run inning for Everest in the fifth. Then the Evergreens would add an RBI double by Mara Meverden in the sixth and a sacrifice fly by Piper Schultz to make it 8-0, and that would be the final score. Everest winning it by a score of 8-0. Great performance for Addison Kluck. She tosses a 2-hit shutout with 13 strikeouts, and she was 3-for-4 at the plate as well. Mara Meverden, 3-of-4 with 2 RBIs for the Evergreens. Jaden Elke and McKenna Gale had the hits for the Warriors. So the Warriors will now get back at it in the playoffs coming up on Tuesday. West at Superior in a regional semifinal. Tuesday, 4:50 airtime, 5 o'clock first pitch right here on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. But today it is DC Everest 8, Wausau West 0. We hope you're with us on Tuesday. That's our next broadcast. Warriors are taking on Superior right here on 98.9 WXCO. Thanks to all of our sponsors, without whose help we could not bring you Wausau West Warrior High School softball. And thanks to you for joining us. I'm Chad Holmes. This has been Warrior Softball on 98.9 WXCO.
This has been Wausau West Warrior High School Sports on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wausau West Sports has been brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, and Coast to Coast Marketing. Thanks for joining us for Wausau West Warrior High School Sports on your home for the Warriors, 98.9 WXCO.
No, he's an incredible guy. Loved that episode. And
it was fun.
That's another person, you know.
Yeah.
He's so real.
Yeah.
And he is, you know, is Mike the person that you see on TV? Mike is better than what you see on TV. He's just an incredible human being. You've got to experience that. And yeah, I just hope to really kind of keep that going as well.
Well, that's fantastic. And congrats again.
Thank you so much.
I want to make sure we get this because I know that you're a huge racing fan.
I am.
And we've talked so much about pickleball, which is another passion of yours. And I think it's really cool too. But I don't know much about racing. So tell us, you were at the Indy 500 recently. You're rocking the hat.
The qualifying. Yep. The race is on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So
you went down for qualifying. Yeah. All right. So what was that like?
Qualifying it's cool. So the big race is this Sunday. This will be my 25th one. I'm 28 years old.
Wow.
So you can do that math there. Yeah. My dad,
you don't need a chaperone anymore though.
I don't. My dad, I grew up racing myself my dad took me to my first 500 when I was 4 years old, my dad, and my grandpa, and I just fell in love with that race, man. It is the most magical experience for myself as a 4 year old kid. I still feel like a 4 year old kid every year when I wake up early Sunday morning and we walk into the track, and it's magical. And we went down for qualifying, my dad and I. We woke up at 3:30 in the morning, drove down, spent 6 hours down there, drove back to Wisconsin.
Oh, no,
it was fun, but I mean, it's 34 drivers putting their lives on the line, going 240 miles an hour to try and be one of the 33 fastest. So one driver gets sent home, doesn't get to race in the greatest spectacle in racing. The other
only
33.
One?
Yeah, usually
that hurts.
It used to be, you know, they'd have 40, 50 cars trying to qualify for 33 spots. Now it's usually 34 to 36. So this year there was just one that got sent home. Ooh. But it's so hard to explain to people, but I just say, if you've never been to a motor race and you have no interest, or you're maybe thinking about it, that is the one race you need to go to. I mean, it's like a $40 general admission ticket, but you don't have to be a racing fan. It's just such a spectacle. They have a huge EDM concert going on in the infield while the race is going on. It's everything and more that you could expect. I mean, they sold it out this year. It's going to be 425,000 plus people at this event for one day.
Wow.
Largest sporting event in the world and the greatest spectacle in racing.
I don't know if I told you this, but when I was a stand-up I was working Indy in the 90s. They had two great clubs there, and they used to put us up right on that main street. I can't remember the name of it, but they used to have a parade on the day of the Indy 500.
Sure.
These guys rev their engines. You know, I'm a comic. I was out till 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is that?
Not the hangover cure you're looking for.
Exactly. But we'll talk more about the Indy 500 with our pal Emerson Lehman. He is the anchor of the WBAY Morning Show. And he's an all-around swell guy. We'll have more with Emerson in just a couple minutes. It's Peach Wamba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Happy, happy, put it in the ground where the flowers grow. Gold and silver shine.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All the
No, I think the hardest thing about not really being here, even though it sounds like we're here, is no question of the night. We can't really answer texts. And it feels weird when the listeners aren't part of the show. It just doesn't, there's something weird about that.
Yeah, yeah, completely. I'm looking for text and there's nothing, you know?
Just make something up, Conrad.
Will do.
This is Nightlight with Peach Wava. You got a Friday night here in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. Michael Collins is coming up at 6:35, the director of the film Almost Sunrise, a great story about two veterans. Eliza Cousin is here at 7:05, and it is a bar band Friday night. Bar band continues. You cannot keep Terry Barr down. She'll be here at 7:35. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our pal Emerson Lehman, who is telling us all about the Indy 500 qualifying races in Indianapolis. You went with your dad.
Yes.
Drove down in the middle of the night and came back the same day. I have a question because I know my only knowledge really of the Indy 500 is what I used to hear David Letterman talk about because he's a huge...
He's a team owner.
Yes. That's
yeah, he's
right.
Got his driver, one of his drivers, he's got three in the field, Takuma Sato, two-time winner. And he's starting second on Sunday. He's one of the favorites, I would say, to win.
Really?
So, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Well, it's funny because everything I remember hearing about David Letterman, he would talk about the speeding tickets he got on the way home from recording in Connecticut. So I think he wishes he was part of the Indy 500. But I was just telling you during the break, that was the race when I was growing up. It was the Indy 500. I knew about it, even though I didn't know much about racing. Then NASCAR kind of took over. What is the difference in for if you're a driver in the skill sets? And what are the difference in speeds?
Great question. So IndyCars, faster. They're more aerodynamic. Right. They're open wheel cars. They've got wings, so they've got the downforce and whatnot. NASCAR's heavier. You know, the stock car, they kind of look like more of a car you might see on the street kind of deal, where IndyCars look more like a almost like a fighter jet with wheels on it.
Right.
So, and absolutely, like growing up, For you, you know, the Indy 500, you hear the reference in movies. I mean, it's in the Christmas Story, you know,
yeah.
When he's changing dad's tire. you hear that reference. And I think it still is. And NASCAR has kind of taken over in a sense of the full scope, I guess, of a season. Like NASCAR, TV viewership-wise, get more people over the course of a season kind of deal where IndyCar maybe struggles a bit on their other race weekends, but when it comes to the 500,
it's not even close.
It's the race. Okay. Yeah. And you talk to, I think, most race car drivers in the world that are doing it professionally. What race would you want to win? You're going to get Monaco for Formula One. You're going to get Le Mans, the 24 hours of Le Mans for sports cars. And then you're going to get the Indy 500. And it is one of like that's the triple crown, they call it. But NASCAR, you know, they do this thing called the double. So the Coca-Cola 600 is the NASCAR race. That'll be Sunday night. IndyCar, the 500 is Sunday afternoon. It starts at 12:30, I believe, local time. So 11:30 our time. This year, Kyle Larson, who is a NASCAR driver, is doing the double. So he qualified for the 500. He's going to try and race all 500 miles in Indianapolis, get out of the car, jump on a private plane, fly down to Charlotte, jump in the NASCAR, do another 600.
Does that feel like a Sunday drive after the Indy 500? Well, jumping in?
It's so different.
Yeah.
And I believe he would be the third driver to complete the double.
It's already been done.
I think
wow.
Tony Stewart is, I believe, the only one to do all 1,100 miles.
Okay.
But Kyle's trying to do, he tried to do it last year as well, but Indy had a rain delay, so he had to stay later in Indy, ended up missing the NASCAR race. It was this whole big whole big deal. But yeah, man, that's the thing. Like that's one storyline coming out of the 500. There are so many insane storylines. It's just,
how much faster are they driving? You said 240 miles an hour IndyCar. What do NASCAR drivers top out at? Typically?
Yeah, so NASCAR races at the speedway. I don't like know their lap time comparisons, but they probably hit 200. But you add the, yeah, like 190 to 200.
Okay.
But yeah, like you add that, like they're having to lift through the corners where IndyCars are usually flat through the corners because of the downforce and whatnot. It's just, they're two completely different types of racing, which makes it so cool what Kyle Larson's doing because he's fast in the IndyCar and he's a NASCAR champion. So he's the best
driver. Are you cheering for him? Like, do you hope he does?
I hope he does well. I think it would be very cool to see him do well.
Yeah.
You know, I would say I'm a little bit loyal to IndyCar, so I don't know that I want to see a NASCAR driver come and kick IndyCar drivers' butts. But in that sense, too, I love history. And I was there for the most recent four-time winner. There's only four-time winners in 500 history. I watched Helio Castroneves do it a couple years ago. And I was there for his first win, which was my first 500. So I've seen all four of his wins.
It's pretty
and
cool.
It's just, I enjoyed that history aspect. And yeah, man, we're from Wisconsin. The winner drinks milk. Like what other, usually you're spraying champagne and stuff, but they're drinking a big cold jar of milk in Victory Lane. Like I can't put into words. I'm struggling to
excited you are.
How special of a race it is. Yeah. Growing up, that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to win the Indianapolis 500. And, you know,
it's not too late. You've mastered pickleball.
Yeah.
I think you could have another side.
I know. You know, if there's a multi-millionaire out there that wants to sponsor my 500 effort, contact me. But it's just cool to be a part of it. And can't wait to be there back home again in Indiana.
Thank you again for being flexible with today and accommodating my crazy schedule.
Anything for you guys.
Yeah, you're the best, man. What, real quick, we got about 30 seconds. What's coming up on Small Towns?
Small Towns, June coming up, June Dairy Month. So we're going to have the first 2 weeks in June, we'll be talking to two different dairy farming families. They make the world go round, right? Yeah. Those farmers out there, and really excited to feature them and put them in the spotlight. They deserve it.
Outstanding. Emerson Lehman. Thank you, buddy. Keep up the great work in your work and in all your side hustles.
Right back to you, my friend.
We'll do this again soon, as usual, I hope.
Look forward to it.
All right. We're coming right back with director Michael Collins. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on a bar band Friday night.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Mountaineer on Air.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. An update on a well-known Madison crime. The man convicted of killing UW-Madison student Brittany Zimmerman has died in prison. Brittany was from Marshfield and 21 years old in 2008 when she was found murdered in her home on Doty Street. It took years, but eventually police got a DNA match from the scene. They told Brittany's family the DNA matched a man named David Call. And after years of waiting, Brittany's mom told the press, saying she couldn't continue to stay silent, knowing her daughter's killer was not being held responsible. Authorities later arrested David Call in 2020. Prosecutor said he followed her into her home that day. He eventually pled guilty as a part of a plea deal. Call was serving at the Dodge Correctional Institute, but records updated Thursday morning show that he died. Those records do not show a cause of death. This crime shocked Madison and prompted fear in the UW-Madison community. And the warmer weather has the UTV and ATV community ready to hit the trails, but there's some things you should do first. The Wisconsin DNR encourages off-road recreationalists to get their ATV-UTV safety certification by taking an approved course. Just last year, 40 people died in ATV-UTV crashes in Wisconsin, and most of them were not wearing helmets. Lieutenant Jacob Holschklaw, who's the Wisconsin DNR Off-Highway Vehicle Administrator, says they want folks to create positive memories and have a great experience on the trails. But that only happens if everyone returns home safely at the end of the trip. Also, if you were born on or after January 1st of 1988, the class is required. But anyone can take it. Even those who ride only a few times a year or at a relative's house should take the course. You can take it in the classroom or online. It's about 6 hours long. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The summer box office kicks into high gear this weekend with two huge releases squaring off for your hard-earned money. Let's start with The Granddaddy, which is the final installment of the Mission Impossible franchise, at least for now. Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning continues the story from 2 years ago, where we left with a train hanging off a cliff. The film is pulling about an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes because some critics apparently don't know how to party. Not to be outdone, the live-action version of Lilo and Stitch also opens this weekend and is also anticipated massive returns at the gate. In the film, which is pulling a 73% on Rotten Tomatoes, a fugitive alien helps a young Hawaiian girl heal her dysfunctional family. If you're looking for some good old-fashioned, cringeworthy adult comedy, check out the film Friendship, which goes into wider release this weekend. If you're in a small town, you might have to road trip for the laughs, but it might be worth it as it's pulling a 90% on RT. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 30s. For tomorrow, mainly sunny. A few clouds around the area and highs in the mid-60s. And partly to mostly sunny on Sunday and Monday, highs into the upper 60s. Chance of rain on Tuesday. Currently 57 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll rebroadcast some recent clips as we take time off to honor Memorial Day and those whose sacrifices gave us the freedom we continue to defend.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Man, you have... played that one in a while. Pull that out of the archives.
I did.
Welcome back to Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabba. Welcome to this pre-recorded show we're doing as I am off tonight, but I'm still sort of here with you. So it's great to have you here with me. It is a bar band Friday night. We are moving forward with bar band. Terry Barr will be here at 7:35 and a special guest at 7:05, which will be fun. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome a guest. Several years ago, I became aware of this film called Almost Sunrise, and I interviewed the filmmaker on PBS, PBS Wisconsin, and again on the radio. And it's a great film, and I thought, you know, I do the classic movie pick every week here at Civic Media, and I thought, in honor of Veterans Day, what's a movie that deals with veterans that we haven't heard yet? You know, you got Born on the 4th of July, Platoon, all those great classic movies, but I thought, man, this is a movie that stuck with me, this documentary from 2016, and I really enjoyed talking to one of the subjects in the documentary years ago, Anthony Anderson, and the director, Michael Collins, as well. And Michael is generous enough to spend some time here with us tonight. Michael Collins, the director of Almost Sunrise, joins me over the stream. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. Great to connect with you again. It's been a while.
It is. And it's funny because you obviously are like me. When I reached out to you, you said my number came up as Pete Radio Wisconsin or something like that on your screen.
That's right.
I thought that's brilliant to make notes like that because you were in my phone as Michael Collins, but if I hadn't just stumbled onto this movie again, I would have been like, the Irish Revolutionary, or who's right. Michael Collins? Then I would have had to jog my memory. I would have figured it out eventually. But
exactly.
Great to have you tonight, Michael. And, you know, it's been a while since we've spoken, probably 8 or 9 years. Your film is the classic movie pick of the week here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for making it. It's great on behalf of people who support veterans, and I'm sure veterans as well. It was a great film to watch. Just good movie making. But tell us a little bit about, for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about Almost Sunrise.
Okay, great. Well, you know, it has been a while since I've spoken about this, so I won't be as eloquent as I was 8 years ago. I apologize in advance. Okay. But Almost Sunrise is about two veterans who were struggling a bit with their own mental health challenges after returning from Iraq, and decided to take it upon themselves to go for a long walk to clear their heads, literally across the country. And they did it partly for their own sake, just because they wanted that peace and quiet and reconnection to nature and all the benefits of moving slowly across the country, but also to call attention to, you know, they used it as an opportunity to call attention to what other veterans were struggling with and that continue to struggle with. What made this film, I would say, a little more unique than other veteran films that we've seen so far is that it's about moral injury. And moral injury is sort of categorized as like wounds to the soul, you know? So it goes beyond what we hear so much about post-traumatic stress, which is obviously a very real thing, but that has a lot more to do with trauma to your, let's say, your nervous system, where moral injury, it's deeper, you know? So many of the veterans that we were meeting while working on this film were just talking about the wounds that they brought back that were much more subtle than just being stuck in that fight or flight for so long while they were deployed and things like that. It was really, the wounds to the soul that they carried back with them. And that's what we, that was sort of the heart of this film.
It's interesting because you talk about that in the film and you differentiate it a little bit from PTSD, the moral injury. And there's a moment in the film, which I'm using in my classic movie pick of the week, where there's a character, Tom's wife, I think her name was Katinka.
Tom's partner at the time, yes.
Okay. And she talks about that, by how you're putting, you know, a gun in these kids' hands and sending them over to do things before they really even know what love is. And that's then right. When they look back on it, that's what they struggle with. More, and it's not recognized as an official like syndrome or anything.
Yeah, that was part of the goal of the film, and it is much more recognized. I mean, this was probably the first film on moral injury at the time, and part of the goal of our impact campaign was just to bring this into the mainstream, and you know, and it worked in a lot of ways. I'll tell you that this film still screens to this day. Our impact campaign continues. People still find the film, do community screenings. I still get emails from people. And so many veterans, even veterans from the Korean War, Vietnam War, will reach out and just say, thank you. I didn't have a name for it. Like just even being able to name it is has brought people a lot of healing and opportunity to connect with their family and have conversations and just so I don't know where it stands right now in terms of the VA's recognizing it officially, but I think it may have been it may be more accepted than it was certainly 10 years ago.
It's interesting, and it's something we don't think about as you know, just sort of lay people, I guess, is what we're asking these soldiers to do. It's like, go defend the country, go wear the uniform and all that. But what you're actually asking them to do is horrifying. And no wonder they struggle with it. And you did such a great job bringing that out in the film. Anthony Anderson and Tom Voss are both from Milwaukee, the two guys, and they were friends. How did you find them?
You know, I got it in my head that my next film had to be about the veteran and military family experience because I had some exposure to that and just thought, okay, civilians, quote unquote, you know, civilians aren't paying enough attention. We're not taking enough responsibility for what we're sending everyone off to do. People were starting to come back. There was all this, the suicide crisis was at its height. And I was doing some research online and I found their a campaign that they did. They were trying to raise some money to help cover their costs for the walk across the country. I had met Anthony briefly. I was doing some volunteer work for an organization that he had been a part of, this called Project Welcome Home Troops. He had done their breathwork program.
I was volunteering with them, doing some video work for them, and I met him. And so I recognized him, and I was like, oh, I know Anthony. I know this guy. I wanted to make a film. And of course, I didn't want it to just be a Talking Heads film. That's not the kind of stuff that I like to make. I wanted there to be a journey, there to be, you know, subjects that we're following. And these two guys saying, we're about to walk across the country to try to heal and call attention to what's going on. I thought, that's perfect. So I called up Anthony. I said, hey, I don't know if you remember me. About 6 months ago, we met in Milwaukee. And he said, yeah, all right, well, let's see. They basically interviewed me. You know, and Anthony invited me out, and they said, let's see if this guy's for real, if we're all on the same page, you know, what my intentions were. And we just hit it off. We just realized their goal with the walk, my goal with the film, were in line, and that, you know, I didn't want to get in the way of their experience while they walked. So we agreed that I would come in and out throughout it. And then, you know, the impact campaign was so woven in with their goals of just calling attention and supporting veterans and military families that it just felt like such a perfect match.
Yeah. I interviewed Anthony on the radio years ago after you referred me, and he was so thoughtful and articulate. How is he doing now, and how is Tom doing now?
You know, I've been very in touch with them at moments and less in touch with them at moments. Sometimes I'm just following them on their socials, and sometimes we're chatting on the phone or spending time together physically. So Anthony's, last I checked, he's doing great. He's you know, he moved to Texas for a while, then he's back in the Milwaukee area. He has his own company right now called Lit Beard Company, that it's obviously veteran owned, and it's products for men with beards. And he donates a big portion of that every year of his profits to veterans organizations, including Project Welcome Home Troops. And he has a second child now. I mean, they're doing great. He's doing great. Tom, I've been in touch with on and off. I spent some time with him. He was living in Southern California for a little bit. And last I heard, he's now in Colorado. So I haven't been in touch with him too much lately, but all my interactions with both of them have been just great.
My guest is Michael Collins. He is the director of Almost Sunrise, which you can watch on YouTube. Just click that in. It's Journeyman Films, I believe, Michael, and
yes.
YouTube, and Almost Sunrise, and you can watch the whole film right there. It's just really great work. And you can hear the entire classic movie pick of the week on New Wisco Weekend tomorrow and Sunday here on the Civic Media Radio Network. What was the biggest challenge of this, Michael? You've got these guys walking. You can't film a 2,700-mile walk. As a filmmaker, you have to keep this interesting. And it's two dudes walking, seeking healing and therapy and all this great stuff. Was it hard to pick the moments you wanted to show?
Yes. It was such a tricky production, right? Because you want to choose things like, okay, I think they're going to be, you know, around Colorado Springs on this date. And if we want to represent the different, you know, landscapes in the country, that's probably a good place for us to plan to show up for a couple of weeks. But then they might have been held up. There might have been a storm, this, that. So it's a moving target. Even though they were moving slowly, they were still a moving target. And then their interactions. I mean, really, the heart of this film, it's human, right? I mean, they were, as a lot of veterans struggle with when they come back, they self-isolate and they do some things that are very disconnecting from society, sometimes even from their family. So some of the magic of this film is really watching communities come out to welcome them, to support them, to invite them into their homes for a meal, for a place to sleep, to do laundry. And they had some really beautiful, deep connections with people. Sometimes communities would come out and throw big, you know, barbecues for them, all kinds of stuff. So you never knew when that was going to happen. Someone will pull over on the side of the road who read an article about them from the town, you know, the town before, said, hey, I heard you guys were walking through. And then they pull over and they have the most extraordinary, heartfelt interaction. And of course, that's the moment where my crew and I have gone off to have lunch. It's just in that exact moment. So, you know, that stuff is just, it happened over and over and over again, and it became comical. But that was just part of it. You know, I would say the biggest challenge, was certainly the edit. It was I think the hardest thing that happened to these guys happened years before I met them. It's what happened to them in Iraq. So making a film about them moving across the country, it was then, how did we find creative ways to look back at their service? And that's when we incorporated one of Tom's friends who served with him, who he was actually walking across the country to see, Emmett, who features in the film, gave us about 13,000 photographs. And we went through all of those. So that's how we created. We used that to represent their time as they discussed their moral injury, the night raids that they had to do in homes, all the things that haunted them. We were able to really bring that to life on the screen through these photographs, through animation, through bringing them to life, sort of representing the mental loops that they were stuck in, you know, and also really physically seeing them in those spaces. So it was a lot of it was a heavy lift in the edit, but ultimately it all came together.
That's the voice of Michael Collins. We'll have a couple more minutes with Michael when we come back after this very short break. We are talking about the film Almost Sunrise. It's this week's classic movie pick of the week on New Wisco Weekend here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're coming right back. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
as Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Friday night as we head into Memorial Day weekend. And what better time to talk about a film that really does veterans a solid, to say the very least, called Almost Sunrise. The director, Michael Collins, is with me right now for a couple more minutes. Michael, you've had some distance from the film now. How do you feel about it now, all these years later? And did it have the effect that you or Tom or Anthony wanted it to have, or the impact?
You know, it's a great question. I'll tell you that the impact that it had after every single screening was so moving, and it's almost immeasurable, right? When someone comes up and says, okay, I'm now going to move on a journey of healing. I'm now going to reconnect with my family. I'm now going to seek out this healing modality that I didn't even know was there before, using breath work, meditation, these kinds of things, and connecting with Project Welcome Home troops. We can't really measure the impact of that. There's still a veteran suicide crisis in this country. Right. Yeah. Did I think that this one film was going to solve that? Absolutely not. But I think that it has, every time it's shown, it serves as a tool for the people who see it to, whether or not you're a veteran, a military family member, or a civilian who's outside of that, I think it makes us all reflect and say, how do I participate in making things better? How do I take responsibility? How do I become a part of the change that needs to take place here? And I'm really proud that the film has done that and continues to do that.
You know, my takeaway from the film was listening to these two guys who were in the thick of it and hearing the stories they tell and seeing what they were willing to do, not only for themselves, but to increase awareness for veteran suicides. You can't respect veterans or say you support them unless you listen to them. And, by and large, you hear so many veterans talk about this needs to be addressed. Why are we still even talking about this? Like, what is your opinion of that? You took time out of your life to address this issue, and you wanted to make a good film too, but to increase awareness, why do they have to keep asking?
You know, it's very frustrating. And I think we all do what we can do. And when I searched my heart, I was so frustrated with what was going on. And I said, okay, well, I'm a filmmaker. What can I make impact films. This is how I can be of service, right?
Right.
And I think that is what I would hope that everyone can do, and just say, all right, what can I do, as you said, to listen to a veteran in my community, to connect with a military family, to actually be more involved politically? What is... think about what our congressmen and our senators are sending people away to do, have more clarity around that. What is the mission that we're sending people on? How are you going to take care of them when they come back? Do we have clarity around this, instead of people just really want to, a lot of times just stay in the shadows and just don't really understand what's going on, and therefore are just hoping for the best. And when a veteran comes back and it's uncomfortable, to understand what they've been through, well, we shouldn't just be saying thank you for your service and holding them at arm's length. We should be sitting there and saying, hey, I'm here. I may not understand what you went through, but I'd certainly like to try.
Absolutely.
I would like to, and say that to the family members too, and have some perspective and some empathy, and understand that the challenges that this family might be going through are going to be different than yours. And how can you serve them? How can we serve those who are signing up and raising their hands to do the most difficult job that you can?
Yeah, for sure. Did you have to convince them? Like, you guys met, they agreed to do the film. But like a lot of subjects for documentarians, there's a little bit of a period there where they're not sure when they go on camera. These guys are both such personable guys and both very intelligent guys. Did it take them a while to warm up?
You know, I think, as I said in the beginning, they put me to the test.
Yeah.
they were the ones interviewing me. And once I sort of passed that test, then sure, it takes a minute to get used to having a camera in your face and having someone say, hey, you know what? Even during the difficult moments or the uncomfortable moments, we'd like to keep rolling, all of that kind of stuff. So some of that is, it's just something that we figure out together. And I think what I have to do is just show up with full transparency, fully vulnerable every day too, so that they can see that we're all in this together, you know, that I'm not there just trying to take something from them and go and share it with the world to try to get some awards or whatever. It's like, okay, you know, we're all in this, on this journey. And I happen to have a camera in my hand. You guys are walking and talking to people. Let's just be in constant communication of how we can support each other. And yeah, sometimes I would mess up. And, you know, they would call me out on it. But for the most part, we knew that deep down we were all coming from a good place. So there was a lot of leeway there.
Michael, great answer. Thank you for increasing awareness to the moral injury, something that probably needs to be talked a lot more about. And your film did win some awards. So good for you. And thank you for making the film. And thanks for taking some time to spend with us tonight on Nightlight.
Yeah. And Jeff, can I just tell you, Pete, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Sure.
I'm at Mountain Film right now. This is where we premiered the film Memorial Day weekend 9 years ago. I'm here. I fell so in love with this festival when we did it that I'm now on the board. I've been back here with two other films since then. I've been on the jury. I absolutely love it. So I'm back here at Mountain Film. So it's all coming full circle having you call me.
Look at that.
And then one other last thing I'll say is I have a veterans film called By My Side. People look at bymysidedoc.com. It's about veterans and canine therapy. It's a short film.
Oh, nice.
And it's really beautiful. So I just wanted to let people know that that's also out there. So
of course.
I appreciate it. Thanks
for
all the time, Pete.
Keep up the great work and break a leg on all your projects, my friend. Great talking to you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Michael Collins, when we come back, after intermission, we have a special guest. This is going to be fun, Conrad. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too
late. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM. W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump today threatened 25% tariffs on cell phones, including iPhones. And he claimed again, despite evidence to the contrary, that tariffs don't necessarily mean that consumer prices will rise.
Sometimes the country will eat it. Sometimes Walmart will eat it. And sometimes there'll be something to pay, something extra.
Despite concerns about safety at Newark Liberty Airport, code EWR, flyers are still boarding planes there this holiday weekend.
All of our friends and family, for I think like the past 2 weeks, they're like, oh, are you sure EWR is having some problems? But, you know, we're from Jersey. I don't live too far from here. So we're like, we're gonna fly out of EWR.
In a video statement, North Carolina's Democratic Governor Josh Stein says FEMA has turned down his request for more aid to help people recover from Hurricane Helene.
It's going to cost a lot, up to $2 billion to fully clean the road. Roads and waterways of Western North Carolina.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.